Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 40. I'm planning on starting James probably after Gerald Fielder comes on Wednesdays, but I was just, last couple days, been thinking about different things going on. I don't know about you, but I'm experiencing a few bumps, nothing big, but sometimes just this is not working or this is not working. And you got people coming up in the parking lot, Sam's, and telling you, I'm not going to tell you how many people live in my house. And I'm going, oh, where's this coming from? On and on it goes, right? I didn't even know what they were talking about. I'm standing there working with a census worker just trying to take care of it. That's the first time I met her since we trained back in June. But anyway, she's been given to me on the team. And they said that. I'm thinking, what in the world are they talking about? And she caught on real quick, the girl behind me. She said, census. I said, oh, yeah, that's what we're doing. But anyway, as I was thinking about this passage and just little things going on, I the Bible says a double-minded man is stable in all his ways, and I feel like I'm almost getting there. Monday, I just kind of thought, man, my car's not working. I got to take it back to the shop. So I ran down to the shop, and then they told me what they were going to do, and I knew it, and it's like quite a bit of money, and I started researching a little bit, and I'm thinking, why in the world are they going to charge that much money to do that? So I went down and got it back Tuesday. So we're just battling this whole thing. But anyway, as I was thinking about these things, I came across Psalm 40. And, of course, David, he has written so many of these. And so many times, of course, he talks about the blessings of the Lord. He also talks about the difficult situations that he goes through. And we're just going to look at three verses tonight. And this is something that I'm wanting to do as well. As David, he realized that sometimes you just have to wait. You have to trust God. You have to wait on Him. I mean, you always want to do what's right. You always continue to seek Him and to follow His plan. But He doesn't always give the answers right away. And here he sees that as he waits patiently, let me read the passage. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So as we see here, David is going through a struggle in this particular time. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for the opportunity to be here. We thank You for the Word of God and how it does comfort and aid us. We thank You for how it gives us strength, especially in times of need. And Father, we just ask that You'd go before us and that You'd speak to each heart here tonight. Father, many may say amen in here, and others may say, I need this. And Father, I just pray that we can all use it and take it to heart. We thank You again. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So David, here he's in a situation that he doesn't have the solution or the answer. And so what is he going to do? He's going to wait. He's going to wait on the Lord. He wants to hear from God. Waiting on the Lord is waiting for Him to give you the answer that you're seeking, whatever that direction is that you need to find out in your life. Should I do this? Should I do that? And, of course, it's the idea that he waited patiently. When we look at the Hebrew word for this idea of waiting, again, it's the idea of binding together. When we wait upon the Lord in this sense, we're binding ourselves with Him and we're just going to allow Him to show us. It also means to expect. So as I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm expecting Him to answer something, which leads to trust as well. We want to wait on the Lord. We want to trust Him. We want to know that we're right in the path that He has for us, even when it's a difficult time. And many times, I don't know about you, but I find myself not knowing what the right answer is. And sometimes stepping out and doing the wrong thing instead of waiting on the Lord and seeking His face and asking Him, Lord, what is it? What's the next step? And so here he's waiting on the Lord. He's bound together with Him. He's tarrying. He's expecting. And he's doing this patiently. That's that idea of tarrying. So he's wanting to find out what the Lord has and really what to expect. And as I think about that, it all boils down to the beginning of how we have that relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that is the beginning of your walk. That's the beginning of your new life. That's when things have occurred in your life and God has transformed you and changed you. You don't understand all of it. just like being born in this world. You don't understand all of it. Your parents take care of you and all that. And then you continue to grow up and you learn more and more. And you find out you were born. You didn't know you were born until someone told you later on. But it's that whole idea that you learn about things. Well, this is what we want to learn. We want to learn how to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. Why? Because I want to understand what it is to bind myself together with the Lord. I want to understand what God wants me to do in this life. And when I can seek His face and I can commit my ways to Him, then I can love Him with all my heart, with all my mind, and with all my soul. Then I'll be on the right path. Jesus told us that we can come unto Him. And that's what we want to do, is come unto Him and find out what is it that God has for us. The world's not going to tell you what God has for you. You're not going to find it on the news. It's not going to be there. I don't care if you listen to Fox News or any other radio station. You're just not going to find God telling you what to do or showing you what to do. It's not there. In fact, just the opposite you'll find so often. It's really understanding who God is and what is the mind of God. If I'm waiting patiently, if I'm trying to trust the Lord with my life, I need to know what His mind is on these things that He's given to me. Do I know how to live this life? No, I know how to walk in it. Paul, he made the statement in Philippians 3:10 that I may know Him, and just the idea of knowing Him. But listen what he says after that. In the power of His resurrection. That's living that new life in Christ, right? Before you were the old man, now you're the new man. Now Jesus lives inside of you, and your life has been transformed and changed. It is different. He goes on and says, and the fellowship of His sufferings. Fellowship. That walk with Christ, knowing that there are going to be times of difficulties. Christ had difficulties on this earth. It wasn't a wonderful trip for Him. He was God on this earth, but yet He had to watch Himself. People tried to get Him, tried to kill Him, tried to do a lot of things to Him. And He went to the cross. And prior to that cross, they beat Him with a cat of nine tails. They smacked Him. They put a crown of thorns on His head. They mocked Him. He did that. Why? For me. He did that for all. That's the fellowship of His sufferings. And then he said in that same verse, being made conformable unto His death. So it's knowing the power of His resurrection, knowing the fellowship of His sufferings, but also that knowing that even in the trials, God is there. He is there for us. That verse in 1 Peter 5:7 that we say all the time about casting our care upon Him, for He careth for us, that is real. And that's what we do when we're waiting on the Lord. When David is waiting patiently, I imagine during this time he is communicating with God. He's wanting to hear from God and he's communicating with Him. He's pouring out his heart. We have been blessed with the things that David has thought and said right here. That God allowed those very things to be put in the Bible that we can understand what that relationship is like. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he's talking about the Lord being Jehovah God, that he was expecting Him to do something in his life. He was expecting to hear from Him. Do we expect to hear from God? Do we go to the Lord in prayer and read the Bible and expect to hear Him tell us something or show us something or reveal something to us? Do we expect that? I hope we do, because we should. If He's my Lord and Savior, and if I got that relationship, and He's promised to take care of me, He told me He'd never leave me nor forsake me, He's there that I can cast all my care upon Him, and He knows every thought and every situation I'm in, and He wants me to wait on Him, I believe I can expect some things from God. I can expect Him to do something. I can expect Him to answer when I'm in a situation. Now, the answer may not be what I want. You know, I always want yes. Don't you always want yes when you're praying for something? I do. I said, Lord, give me this or give me that. And I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about just whatever's going on in your life. Take this from me. Take that from me. I'd love it. It'll always be yes. But He's never promised that. In fact, sometimes it's there for a reason. He needs to knock some old rough spots off on me. So He puts it there for a purpose, to teach me, to help me. Why? So I would wait on Him some more and learn about that relationship. So here he is. He's trusting. He's waiting on the Lord. Job 13:15. This was our verse a couple years ago. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Now this is a man that understood what it was to be slayed. Okay? He was there, and of course, Satan went to God and told him, look, you're protecting him, and if you weren't protecting him, then you took your hand of protection off him, or that hedge about him, and I know he'd curse you, and he turned from you. He wouldn't have anything to do with you. But Job didn't do that. Job knew his God. Now, he wasn't perfect, for sure. He was doubting. He was struggling. He was having difficult situations, similar things that we go through. But yet, he never cursed God. He always stayed focused. He knew his friends, even though they were his friends, were not necessarily giving him the best counsel. And yet, he stayed or waited on the Lord. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. And someone says, what does that exactly mean? I will maintain my own ways before him. What he's actually saying is, though he slay me, I will trust in him and prove my path before him. I'm going to stick on the path that he's given me. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to wait on him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to submit myself to him. David, which has written so many of the Psalms, in Psalm 62, 7-8 says, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength, he says, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Kind of reminds us of that Proverbs 3 and 5, or 3, 5 through 6, about trusting the Lord, right? Always trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. And what will he do for us? He's saying, if you'll wait on me, I'll guide your path. I'll show you the direction. It's kind of neat. He does that for us. It's that waiting, that expecting to hear from God. Jeremiah, he said these words in Lamentation. Of course, that book is all about Jeremiah weeping out and crying out to the Lord. He said, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And that's what it's talking about, waiting on the Lord, seeking the Lord. So when we're going through this regular everyday life, do we seek the Lord or is it only in the tough times? Hopefully it's every day. We're seeking the Lord and we're asking for direction and asking for guidance in our lives that he'll show us and point us in the right path, because he will do that. In Psalm 130, verse 5, it says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. That idea of hope there is that same word, if you will, of being patient, or he knows that he can wait patiently. David's waiting patiently. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And then that next part, it says, he inclined. Now this is God that inclined, Jehovah. This is the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutable God that he's waiting for. And it's this God that's going to incline. It says here, he inclined unto me. God's inclining unto him. And I thought about that word, and you look that word up, and it means to stretch or spread out, to bend away. I think it's sort of like the idea when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Do you remember that commercial years ago? It's sort of like when you're talking to somebody, you lean over so you can get the information. You want to hear what they have to say. It's almost like God is inclining to David. He's leaning toward David because he's waiting on David. He's asking God to do something in his life. And he inclined unto me. He heard me. You know, God is always ready to have an ear for anybody that is seeking him. He wants to hear from us. In fact, in Psalmist said, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. He's there to hear us. Isaiah 59, verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. He wants to hear. Your situation, the difficult times and struggles that you're going through. You know, a lot of people, they need someone that could just listen. You know what I'm talking about? Keep your mouth shut. Just listen. God will do that. He will listen to you. You can pour out your heart and everything. And then when you go to seek Him, He will reveal to you the answers that you're seeking for. That's what He does for us. He's that kind of a God. He's a personal God. He's my God. He's your God. For those that know Him as their personal Savior. But then when we get ourselves in trouble and we reject Him or reject His counsel or walk our own way, that same passage in Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." I don't want to be in that situation. It's almost like you get out and like the old days, nobody probably has this. Well, I guess you still got maybe a line in your house if you got a landline. Is you go out and you rip the wire of the phone out of the wall. That way nobody can call you or you can't call anybody else. That's what happens when we sin. We just rip that communication line out of the wall and say, "God, I don't need to hear from you," until we do. And every Christian knows there comes times when we kind of lean on our walking with the Lord. There are lean times in our lives and all of a sudden something happens and what do we do? Dear Jesus, help us. Dear Jesus, I need you. I need your strength today. I need it right now. But He's not going to hear me. Why? Because I yanked out the phone line. Communications aren't there. But what can I do to fix that? By just confessing my sin, asking for His forgiveness. And as soon as I do that, it's like the telephone man comes to the house and he plugs that wire back in. Communications are open. Now, we probably need to use a cell phone thing here. Cell tower or whatever would be a better application for this. But He said He heard its cry. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. God wants to hear your cries. He wants to hear whatever difficulty you're going through. He wants to hear your praises. And we'll see that as it comes on down through this passage. But He wants to hear when you have situations. And don't give up. Keep talking to Him. Keep asking Him. Keep asking for direction. If He's not giving you a clear answer on something, maybe ask some other way. Lord, what in my life is hindering me from hearing You? Ever ask that question? He'll bring it to your mind, I think, what it is that you need to do to get that right. Because He's not hiding from us. He told us He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He's there always ready to give us the help we need. But we have to humble ourselves to Him and say, "Lord, show me, what is it? Where am I going wrong? What is my mistake here? Or what thing in my life is hindering me?" Look in 2, verse 2, He says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit." Can imagine, I don't know if this is a physical condition that David's in. He said, "out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock." Or if it's just one of those spiritual conditions. You know, sometimes the spiritual condition is worse than a physical condition. Because a physical condition, you can learn the new normal. You know what I mean? This hurts today and it's going to hurt for the rest of my life. Okay, that's the new normal. I'll just keep doing that. You know, we'll keep it up until we can't do it anymore. But the spiritual, that's really terrible. When there's spiritual neglect in our lives with our Lord, that's really what brings us down, because that's where everything works together for the Christian. Because we have the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. The same Spirit of God that created this world and when He spoke it into existence was there, lives inside of me and all those who believe. And that Spirit wants to bear witness with God's Spirit. It wants to keep us on that same path as God wants us to be on. And when we're not, that's when things go awry. You know, the inside often is worse than the outside, or the physical, I should say. And it really brings us down to a point where, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? How are we going to fix this? The idea of that horrible pit, now the miry clay, is just that pit is a pit of uproar, just a lot of noise, a place of destruction. I don't know about you, but there needs to be a quiet time somewhere just with the Lord, because this world is noisy and there's a lot of destruction going on today. We need to get away from it. that miry clay is basically mud, getting stuck in the mud. You ever got stuck in the mud before? When I was a younger guy, I had my 1969 Torino, and I was going to a place. There was a shop there. Anyway, I went over there early in the morning, like 6:30 in the morning. I was going to go take my car or whatever. And I went over there, and they had a parking lot here, and it was a dirt parking lot. But that morning, it wasn't dirt. It was mud. I pulled right into that thing, and all of a sudden, right buried down to the edge of the car there, and the running boards or whatever. And I'm sitting there, what am I going to do now? And I'm sitting there in this guy's mud parking lot. And the worst thing about it was, they're going to come and see what I've done. I'm stuck here, you know, just the pride part of it. But I found some boards. I was able to get out of it, but stuck in the mud. It's a terrible feeling. You can't get your car moving. There's no way to get out. Didn't have four-wheel drive, just had the rear-wheel drive. David was stuck in the mud here. He was in the dregs. He was in a place that he didn't want to be, and he couldn't get out of it. And again, I think it was more spiritual than a physical situation. It's a time in his life where he needed the Lord, and he needed the Lord to answer him, give him some help so he could get out of this situation. We know David had experienced trouble many times in his life. I mean, I can't imagine having somebody chasing me with an army trying to kill me. Can you imagine that? And having the opportunity to kill that man twice and not doing it? Cannot even imagine. Now, I don't know if this is this particular time, but there are many times in David's life like that. I mean, his own son was out with an army trying to kill him. Some rough times he lived through. And I imagine more than the physical, that spiritual situation really brought him down. He had a relationship with God and he needed him there. And all he had to do was ask. In Psalm 86, 11 through 13, David said these words. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Many times David was in that situation. But here he says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. I wonder what that rock reminds you of. That rock reminds me of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus was talking to the disciples there, and he asked, who do people say that I am? And they gave a couple things, Elijah and some prophet. And Peter said, well, thou art the Christ. And Jesus remarked and says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon, he said, pointing to himself, we can see it, we don't see it, but he said, upon this rock himself, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He wasn't talking about Peter there. He was talking about himself as the rock. He is the rock. He's that sure foundation that we can stand on. And as long as we're standing there where he is, we're safe, we're secure, we're doing the right thing, no matter what's coming at us, no matter what condition we are in physically, we can still be spiritually filled with joy. That's what a Christian ought to have, is joy. Have you ever had your joy robbed? I have. How did it come about? Because I let myself spiritually get down. I let myself get away from the Lord. And when I do that, then I lose that joy. No matter what your physical state is, you can always have joy. Now, joy in the Bible is not the same thing that some people think is happiness as the world explains it. Joy is that inner peace, knowing you're with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're walking with Him, and there's nothing that can hinder you from doing what God has called you to do in the ability that He's given you. As Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Strengthens me. The Lord reached down as David was waiting on him, and he inclined his ear to him, and he cried to the Lord, and the Lord pulled him out of that miry, that pit with that miry clay in it, and he put him on a rock. This is exactly what God wants to do for us. He wants us to be standing on that rock. He wants to do that. He wants to be there to pull you up. Why? Because when He pulls us up, then we got something to glorify God. We always should glorify God, but when He does something in our lives, it ought to really be a special time that we can say, boy, the Lord did that. He's the one that got me in this situation, or got me out of this situation. I'm trusting the Lord in this, whatever's going on. It's just that Isaiah 40, 31, most of you can quote that, but they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Shall. Someone volunteer to share it. You got it? But they that wait upon the Lord. That's right. That's right. And that's what God wants to do for us. He said He would. Psalm 27:14, David said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But look at David. The Lord got him out of this situation, and He said, and establish my goings. I believe David's goings were the way. The way of what? The way of God. Because when God establishes our goings, it's His way. It's the path that He's given to us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He's given these things to us. Now, we don't know every single detail every single day. We just got to take faith, by faith, take a step and say, okay, Lord, I'm here. What's your next step? What's the next thing you want me to do? It may be wait on the Lord until He inclines His ear to you to show you what that is. But He's got a plan. He's not going to leave you without that plan. And because of this, we see in verse 3, David says, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. What a song that is. In Revelation 5:9, we're reminded, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, and thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. They sang a new song. What was the song? It was the song of the book. It was the song of worthy to take the book, open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. That's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what God does. He puts a new song in our mouth, a new song in our heart. And it's about Jesus. It's not about the world's songs and the world's ideas of what Christian music is. The devil knows all about music. That's another one of his tools in his toolbox that he can pull Christians away, confuse them, and get them going the wrong direction. Remember Paul, he put it this way in Colossians 3:16. He says, let the word of Christ dwell. That word dwell means to inhabit. And he said, let the word of Christ dwell or inhabit. It's to inhabit us. And he says, in you richly. And then he says, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I'm thinking, how do you do that? Do you do something? And then you say, thank you, Lord, for helping me. Is that what he's talking about? I'm just thinking. I don't know. Sounds like that's what he's talking about. Is that when we have opportunity and something happens? Now, I'm preaching to me. You just happen to be in the audience tonight, okay? Is that many times, don't even think that way. Something that goes on, I don't really give praise to God or think that way. When God allows me to do something or gives me an opportunity, maybe a witness even or whatever. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have the opportunity to do this. Thank you, God, for allowing me to be able to help this person. And let that person know that it was God that let you do that. Because when they hear it enough as regular conversation, it will stick with them more. David, he was delivered from his discouragement and sorrow, and now he's full of joy. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Look at the results that he's claiming here. Because of this joy in his life, the joy that God has put in his life, this new song, that he said, many will see it. Many will fear. And do what? Put their trust in the Lord. That's a whole different tune that he was singing just a couple verses before this. He's waiting patiently for the Lord. He's in a, verse 2, he's in a miry situation in this horrible pit. And he wants to get out of it. Again, I believe it's a spiritual situation. Psalm 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. David's life is being transformed, and it's because he decided to wait on the Lord patiently. I want to encourage you to wait. Again, that word means to twist or bind together, to expect something from God. If you're not ever waiting on the Lord, then you don't need God, maybe. You don't need anything from Him. And I hope that's not true in your life, because I'm learning more and more. I need Him more and more. I need Him for decisions. I need Him for every single day of walking this Christian life that He's called us to live, to understand what the plan is and to have Him to incline His ear to me. How do I get that? Right here. This is how He inclines His ear. I go to this and I can find out what He has to say about what I'm asking for. Lord, would you help me in this situation? Well, I'll tell you right here. Just bind yourself with me. Twist yourself up with me. And I in Christ and Christ in me, the idea. God has something for everybody in this room and He wants to give it to you. But we all, I won't speak for you, but I need to wait patiently on the Lord. I need to do that. Because why? I want to hear from God. And He wants to tell me something. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for the time we were able to come tonight. I thank You for each one here. I know Wednesday nights are hard. Everybody's tired, Father. And I pray that You would just help us all to look at this three verses and be reminded that You're there waiting to hear from us. And You promise to incline Your ear to us. Father, I pray You would hear our cries and that we would look to You and trust You in all things that You have for us. We thank You for that now. In Jesus' name, amen.